I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting tonight. Can everybody hear me okay? Yeah. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure that their mobile phones are either turned off or switched to silent. And the use of mobile phone devices or mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded, except that the committee is considering any exempt matters. Recording equipment is linked to the microphone in front of you, so please ensure that your microphone is switched on before you speak. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. And I would remind members of the committee of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they may have in any item of business before the Council Committee tonight. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. And having declared that interest, you should leave the room for the duration of the discussion on the item and not take part in any vote. Thank you. Do we have any apologies? Anyone else? Thank you for that. I have a couple of items of chairman's business. Could we ask that our council sends a letter of sympathy to the family of Councillor John Dorris, a former member of the Down District Council, who has passed on. Also to acknowledge, and it has already been acknowledged at a previous council meeting, I think, on the sad passing of Seamus Mullins, just that I wasn't here at the time that it happened. I was actually, myself and Brady were on holidays. I just add my sentiments of condolence to the passing of the former Deputy First Minister, Seamus Mullins. Also, the sad death of Declan Moran, who died as a result of a tragic accident in Downpatrick. And could I also ask for your support in sending a letter from the council and maybe a bunch of flowers to Leanne McAvoy, who had successful major surgery recently. So, are we all happy with those items? Thank you very much for that. We're now on to item number 3, to set the district rate for the financial year as required under Section 3 of the Local Government Finance Act. I think I had mentioned in my declaration of interest. Happy enough, none. Right.
Thank you, Chairperson. Members, the Local Government Finance Act 2011 requires that each council shall fix for the next financial year the amount estimated to be required to be raised by means of rates made by that council. You'll be aware that detailed estimates have been formulated, presented and scrutinised by members via the Efficiency Working Group meetings. These have taken into account past outturn, current spending plans and likely future demands and pressures. The action sheets of those Efficiency Working Group meetings are included within this paper at Appendix 6 as a closed item. Members, you're being asked tonight if I can refer you to Section 3.1. We're seeking approval tonight for the following recommendations: to approve the consideration and recommendations of the Efficiencies Working Group in relation to the 2021 rate setting process, and namely to approve an increase in the district rate for 2020-21 of 2.85% based on an estimated penny product of 2510599, meaning a non-domestic rate of 23.6209 pence and a domestic rate of 0.400004 pence. You're also being asked then to approve the medium-term financial plan and authorise the 2021 expenditure included within those estimates, and that's at Appendix 1. You're being asked to approve the capital strategy report for 2021 as required by the CIPFA Prudential Code and included at Appendix 2. To approve the capital programme at Appendix 3. To approve the Treasury Management Statement for 2020-21 at Appendix 4. And to approve the Minimum Revenue Provision Statement 2021 included at Appendix 5. However, before seeking a proposer and a seconder, your Chief Executive is required to provide members with an assurance on the robustness of the estimates and the adequacy of council's reserves. So I now pass you to the Chief Executive, and I'll ask you to refer to section 2.1 of the report in front of you.
Okay, members. excuse me. In accordance with the requirements of the Local Government Finance Act, Northern Ireland 2011, I, as the Chief Financial Officer, am required to provide assurance to you as members on the robustness of the revenue estimates and the adequacy of the Council's reserves position as part of the rate-setting process. I would, however, like to highlight that there are a number of significant uncertainties with the current estimates. The recently re-established Northern Ireland Executive is currently determining a budget for Northern Ireland. Included within our 2020-2021 estimates are various areas of funding received from central government. We have included amounts on the basis of our previous arrangements with central government. However, it is important to note that until such times as the budget is agreed by the Northern Ireland Executive, these funding streams are uncertain. There are various uncertainties remain as to the impact of Brexit on the Northern Ireland economy and the Newry Mourne and Down District Council rate base and funding streams, and no provision has been made in the estimates for any financial implications arising. At present, there has been no agreed budget by the Northern Ireland Executive. Councils have yet to be advised of the total amount of rate support grants being made available by the Department for Communities for 2020-2021. I am satisfied that the estimates presented, subject to the significant uncertainties noted above, should provide adequate financial resources to support the running costs of the Council for 2020-2021, and that reasonable consideration of the financial risks to the Council have been made in the preparation of the estimates. The minimum prudent level of reserves that the Council should maintain is a matter of judgment. It is up to the Council itself, taking into account all the relevant local circumstances, to make a professional judgment on what the appropriate level of reserves and balances should be. The Council's general fund balance is forecast to be in the region of £11 million at the 1st of April 2020, representing 18% of its gross expenditure. I am therefore content that the current reserves held by the Council are adequate. I would therefore ask you members, as per to have a proposer and seconder for the recommendations as set out at 3.1, which Doreena has already presented to you.
Pete, you're late on that, Pete.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Thanks, Doreena and Marie. I suppose for all the work over the last efficiencies working groups. From June and July, when we started this council, the members that sit on the efficiencies working group worked tirelessly to find efficiencies right across all the directorates. And we kick into the November-December period, we all get involved in the rates process. And we go down scrutinising both the capital and the reserve programmes, and there's been a lot of debates behind closed doors on that. We've got, you know, a number of figures down. We've a lot of housekeeping that we've done. And it doesn't stop there. We know when we go back into the efficiencies working group that we will continue across all parties looking for efficiencies, because we want the council to operate in the most efficient way, but where it doesn't cut frontline services. I believe with the proposals that's in front of us that we have achieved that. And at the last efficiencies working group, not to go into detail of it, but just that all political parties were content unanimously at that meeting, that we had found the level where we can move forward, both with an ambitious capital programme, which we have to say every single year we can look at it, and some of the high-level projects, you know, we can debate in this chamber, but we're all parochial in our own areas. We want to deliver value for money for the ratepayer, and the people that I certainly represent want to see increased services and better services, and us following through on the commitments and principles of this council. And to do that, we have to deliver in both capital programme and some of the services that fall to local government. But we also have to be responsible in local government. And I said over the last 3 years, speaking on the rates, you know, that we have a healthy reserves. And at the, I suppose, in the last mandate with the previous chief executive, I've always looked at it as maybe being too high. I think I focused, and our party and other parties have focused, on the level of reserves through this process. And I and the SDLP are content with the level of reserves that we hold. We understand the ongoing programme of efficiencies, as I stated, for the year ahead, and we believe in the direction of travel that we're going. So I think it's only prudent, you know, financially, to maintain the level of reserves that we have at the minute. And also, when you factor in the 2% pay increase across public sector, which we're all calling for as local politicians, you factor in the reduction in the rate support grant, of which is still ongoing, and we would like to see that increased, and we don't have a regional rate set. You know, to get down to a rate that we have now, 2.85%, with all that factored in, which increases it, and not affect frontline service, and keep the ambition of this council going, I think is quite good. So, I'll propose the recommendations in their entirety in 3.1, and we in the SDLP will commit going forward through the efficiencies working group with other parties that we'll continue to work to find more efficiencies right across the directorates, and hope that we're in a better position next year as well. Thank you.
Chairperson.
Commissioner Redwright.
I'd like to voice my recognition of the consensus and the hard work that's gone into this rates proposal. I would, however, request that next year we could possibly consider what I've been asking to do for many years now for our council to realise the revenue it could get from renewable energy. We should be getting millions of pounds a year to offset our rates increases from renewable energy. And I would just say this, other councils are doing it. There's no reason for us not to do it. I think it's the one glaring omission that we have in our overall process. Our revenues should be higher in that area. Thank you.
Mr. Clark. The Chair, I'd second the proposal. And as Councillor Byrne has said, there's a lot of good work has been undertaken at the Efficiency Working Group by members and officers, and I want to recognise that hard work. There was a lot of heavy lifting had to be done by directors to find the savings that was required. And moving forward, there will be continual efficiencies needed to be found. So I'd like to agree with Pete in regards to that. I suppose saying at the outset, it's always difficult to strike a rate. You're trying to balance, take the pressure off our rate payers, and at the same time trying to provide adequate public services for our community also. And we just have to look at our capital projects, our leisure centres, big increases in capital, but also in revenue costs. People tend to forget about building these necessary pieces of infrastructure for the well-being of our communities. But it's the running costs of these facilities also. And I suppose that touches maybe on what Councillor Cadogan and Wright said in regards to renewables. And we are working towards that also in regards to our sustainability and climate change action plan that we're working through the Director Roland Moore on the Sustainability Committee, that we will be identifying savings that can be made through renewables, and we need time to work up that action plan and put it into practice. In regards to, as I say, all the departments had to find a lot of reducing to their budgets, and I understand that wouldn't be very easy at all. Some directors have more to do than others, and I want to recognise that also. But I think it's about frontline services. You want to pay for frontline services. There's only one opportunity we have is through the rates process. And we can generate incomes from services that we provide. And we're always on the outlook to find more income generation opportunities. I just have to look at some of the investments we're making in regards to our festivals. You know, there's a tremendous range of festivals right across our council area, the 78. There's the voluntary contributions for community groups and sports development grants. You just have to look at the amount of playgrounds that has been rolled out and developing or delivering on our sports strategy also. We're looking also then to refurbish our toilet provision, 1.2 million over 3 years for that. You know, so while the public demand better services, you know, we do have to raise the rate by as minimum amount as possible as we can make it. And there was a lot of efficiency were made. But as members, we are continually wishing for additional capital projects, and I'm as guilty as anybody else in regards to that, and also revenue projects. And I'm sure after we strike the rate tonight,
There'll be members in next week looking for additional money and resources. And maybe before the end of the night, they'll be asking for additional resources to be found within the budget. So we need to be mindful. We've cut this. We've made major efficiency savings. But this is, in our opinion, this is from Sinn Féin, and there's Pete Smith from the SDP, and I'm sure other parties will speak. In regard, this is the minimum amount we can raise it to provide good public frontline services. So happy to second it, Chair.
Mr. Reilly.
Mr. Chairman, I was actually quite startled at the start of this process when discussed things with Marie and Dorina. The figures then that were being quoted were very high. And I know that they have done an enormous amount of work to get down to where we are now. And the one thing I do, and I've actually said this to them privately, I don't want to get this council into a situation whereby we will scrimp and cut and build up need for future years, because anybody who was on the old Newry and Mourne council will know that that did actually happen for a number of years, and then when reality hit, there had to be very large rates increases. But I accept that this has been done in a very forensic fashion, and total confidence in the finance department. One thing I would ask, though, there does still seem to be this aspect of having two separate entities within our new council. And I thought, 5 years ago when we started off, that would have been eliminated, and we would have been a council of one single identity between Downpatrick and Newry. But there still seems to be a residue of offices here and duplication and whatever. And I think we need to seriously look at that. And the other thing, Mr. Chairman, is the Chief Executive mentioned that Brexit presents threats. It could also present opportunities. And I would like this council and all the councils in Northern Ireland to hopefully work with the executive in the future and try and see areas where we can return to more common sense ways of doing things outside EU legislation and directives. But that's a more longer term aspect. But we should be able to take advantage of it as well as here. Thank you. But well done, all involved.
Mr. Walker.
Chair, on behalf of our party, we will also be supporting the recommendation in 3.1, and I would also like to commend our staff and our officers for the way they've worked through this process. As Councillor Reilly had said, at one stage it was frightening what the rate would maybe be in that. And I think we have to really commend our officers, because when you look around this province and you see the pickles some of the other councils are in over rates and what they're going to strike and the financial difficulties they're having, I think, we rate very, very well, so we do. And I have to say that a number of major projects and festivals that is in there, we haven't had to cut back in any major programmes or any major development in that. We were able to find savings elsewhere in that, and I think that's a good thing. And that shows that our staff, our officers and that, worked very, very hard to get it down to 2.85. So our party is totally supportive of 3.1.
Thanks very much. I'll keep my remarks brief, because a lot of the remarks that I could have made have been said already by the other parties. It's clear that a considerable amount of work has gone into this, and I want to thank our staff and officers for the work that they've put in, and again for the councillors as well, because throughout this process we always have difficult decisions to make, sure that the council continues to be financially viable. And some of those decisions aren't something that necessarily you always feel comfortable with, because it might affect your own district electoral area. But when you're in a position where you have to show leadership, sometimes it has to be taken. The council itself has many ambitious plans. It has already invested heavily over the last number of years, in particular in terms of capital projects, and there's other plans for further capital projects, and indeed other areas of investment, particularly in terms of the financial assistance scheme, which offers great support to local communities and in terms of even them developing their resources. So to achieve where we have been tonight, it's not ideal. In an ideal world, we would love a zero rate, but we're not in a position for that to happen. To say there has been a lot of work and a lot of pain had to be put in place to achieve this, but certainly a lot of work has been into it, and I think we should be grateful for all the work that has been done by the officers for us to be able to be in this position. So we move forward, you know, after tonight in that regard, and we continue to work to make this council the most efficient council in Northern Ireland, because that was one of the key components of the reform of public administration. It was to deliver value for money and to deliver savings for council, for ratepayers in particular, and that's why I hope we can continue to be.
Thanks very much, David. I think that's it. Well, we have a proposer from Pete and seconded by Willie. We're not all speakers here, I don't think. Are we all content with that? Thank you very much. We'll move on now to item number 4, the action sheet arising from the council meeting on the 6th of January. Just maybe the truth for accuracy. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3 and page 4. Proposed by Terry. Seconder, have you a seconder there? Sean Dorn. Any issues arising out of it? No? Thank you very much for that. Item number 5 is the Minister of a Council meeting held on the 6th of January. Once again, good truth for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So we have a proposal and a seconder. Proposed by Councillor Gary Stokes, seconded by Glenn. Happy enough, no issues arising out of it. Thank you very much for that. On to item number 6, which is the minutes of the ERT meeting held on the 13th of January. Just get to it for accuracy again. Page 1. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Could we have a proposer and a seconder?
Proposer.
Seconded by Rushing. Any matters arising? No. Thank you. Item number 7 is the minutes of the SPNR meeting held on the 16th of January. Do it again for accuracy, page 1, 2, and 3. Could we have a proposer? Proposed by Robert, seconded by Mr. Michael Savage. No matters arising. Thank you very much for that. On to item number 8. Minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities held on the 20th of January. Once again, good truth for accuracy, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Proposed by Councillor Barrow Murray, seconded by John Tenner. Councillor John Tenner. Michael, are you looking in?
Yeah, just briefly, Chair. Maybe Michael can enlighten me on it. I've made approaches in recent weeks in relation to the Carrot McClone Play Park. Have those issues been resolved now by getting the fencing? O'Connor had been back and forward with me, and I was just hopefully that the funding had been found to complete that whole fencing round there, given the concerns from the local residents. And if that's, I just want confirmation if that's okay.
Right. To you, Chair. Yes, my understanding is that's been resolved. I'll contact the officers responsible and get back to you tomorrow. But yes, I was speaking to them last week, right, and I understand that matter's been resolved now. But we'll confirm that for you for definite tomorrow.
Thanks, Chair. Appreciate that.
Councillor Tenley.
Yes, Chairman, matters arising, page 6.
Go ahead.
Just an observation there, Chairman. The work in relation to 16 the Square includes work to the public toilets.
This was in committee, taken in committee in the initial meeting, I think so. So I think
it was an in committee item that would need to be discussed as an in committee item.
Chairman, I wasn't really going to go into the specifics of the paper. I just wanted to raise a point about the closure of the public toilets.
Yeah, that's okay.
Chairman, listen, I'm about long enough to know that we're now in a situation where it's likely, more likely than not, that those public toilets are going to be closed for quite an extended period, which concerns me. So could I possibly ask or request that the Neighbourhood Services Director look and explore the possibility of providing some sort of temporary facility in the square, in the village, because myself, and I know Councillor Gibbons would get calls on this also, a couple of times a week. I mean, it's the good thing as Chairman, until the thing's not there, you don't actually miss it. But I would get calls quite regular on it, as I'm sure some of my colleagues do. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Charlie. Do you want to respond? No? Roland?
By all means, we can certainly look at that, Chair. I'm just caution that obviously the budget will be a restriction on that as well.
Okay, I'm happy enough to move on. Item number 9, which is the minutes of a Neighbourhood Services Committee. Do it again for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, and page 7. Could we have a proposal and a second, please? Proposed by Harold, seconded by Catherine. Is there any matters arising out of it? Yes, Chair.
Yeah, Chair, page 5 and surrounding the week, Helen. Not taken away from the discussion that occurred during the meeting, but I note under the proposed amendments the wording around council property within 3 years. I would like to suggest that we would actually amend that to as soon as possible. You know, we could have a technical solution as soon as possible. Why are we setting a target of 3 years? I think we just amend it to say that on council property as soon as possible.
Sure, you just need a seconder for that, officer level, with no issue.
Did we get a seconder for it?
Thank
you, Barton. Are we all in agreement though, at the end?
Just fine. We're given, the reason the 3 years is there is to allow officers to identify solutions, and we need to give that time because there's a number of trials would have to be undertaken, not just in this council, but other councils, and moving forward. And the amendment, you don't really need it. If you do it quicker, then if you do it quicker before 3 years, then that's going to happen anyway. You know, so I think it's to give you know, a bit of time to get the right non-chemical solution to the problem. It's also to get, you know, the best value for money as well out there. There is a number of trials taking place, as I said. There's a number of people, companies that have now invested in non-chemical solutions. So it's just to give that time because, as you can see from the figures, there could be considerable rises for the council if we don't, you know, if we move into non-chemical use too quickly. And obviously that would be a jump in the rates as well for the ratepayer. At the end of the day, that's who's going to be paying for this. I think it was a sensible amendment, which, as I said, gives us the time. It also prevents us using chemical weed killer on and in around playgrounds, which I think was a good amendment to put in. In regards to it shouldn't really be, and I put the amendment down in regards to that we write to the Assembly in regards to it and the relevant ministers. It's not Council who need to legislate for the ban of the Roundup. It is the Assembly that needs to legislate in regards to it. Because while our Council will say we are not going to use Roundup or chemical weed killers, all the other statute bodies are continuing to use them. The Housing Executive continues to use them. DFI Roads continue to use them. Rivers Agency continues to use them. When you write the DARA, DARA said they are happy to continue to use it. So that's where our letter will be going to the Assembly to start legislating for this. But this gives us, as a council, a bit of time to move forward. And as I say, if we do it quicker than the 3 years, all the better.
Yeah, Chair, just in response to that, I believe Councillor Clark has just contradicted himself. But he says, you know, if it's sooner, that's all the better, and 3 years is to give officers time. But the statement that I have said is as soon as possible. You know, that's not to say it won't be 3 years, but what we want is it in paper to say as soon as possible. What we're saying as a council is that we want it done in 3 years. Officers may take 3 years, whereas if we say physically on paper, we as a council want to do this as soon as possible, that gives a message that we will do everything possible. So the contradiction, it could be, and that's totally real, but your amendment of 3 years doesn't necessarily mean a solution would be fine. What, you're actually limiting the ability of officers to go?
I don't want arguments across the chamber. Incorporate both. Could we incorporate within 3 years or as soon as possible within 3 years?
Or as soon as possible within 3 years.
That's why you're chief executive for you, Bailey.
Can I suggest the wording that might work for everybody would be within 3 years or as soon as possible. So that time limits up to 3 years and it gives us as soon as possible as well.
Happy enough for that.
Can we have a proposer and seconder for that?
Second.
Thank you very much for that.
Are we all in agreement with that? We are, yeah.
Proposed.
The minutes need to be proposed again and proposed by Terry and seconded by. You put your hand up, Henry, the second or Captain.
I just want to ask the Chairman a question, Chairman. Chairman, in the event that somebody sends a letter to the local government auditor and says, look, there's no scientific evidence to prove that the use of glyphosate is harmful to human health, and they say that the council is expending resources and wasting money that's not necessary, is it right that they could come in and surcharge the council for the cost? I actually believe that this is the right policy because there is a lot of documentary evidence that glyphosate is detrimental to people, especially in the early stages of their life. Not so bad for an out-hand like me, but for children and that, it can be damaging. But I was just, because somebody had actually pointed that out to me, that it could make life hard for us if we are causing the council additional expenditure without good reason.
So if a member of the public went to the local government auditor and said that this council was incurring an expenditure, the local government auditor could then decide to come in and do a value for money study, and they would be concluding then and making a recommendation as to whether or not we were expending our money. They could do that in any area of our spend. Where you get into surcharges where councillors act against professional advice provided to them. So I don't think in this context we're in that arena at present, but it's up to the local government order to come in and make comments around the value for money of any of our spend, including this one. But they usually look at whether it's a value for money piece of work to do or not. We have not been advised. They would advise us of that. We've had no advice from the Northern Ireland Audit Office to date that they intend to do anything in this area.
Okay. On to item number 10. There are no issues referred from the Planning Committee, so let's just move on right away to item number 11, which is the minutes of the Audit Committee meeting. I'll just go through it again for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So we have a proposer. Councillor Enright, seconded by Councillor Pete Byrne. No issues arising, no. On to conferences and events. Are you taking that?
So, Chair, the first one's an ILGA conference, and really that's just to note the names of those councillors and officers, particularly the councillors who are attending. We do have three further spaces. I'm not sure if they've been filled from Neighbourhood Services, Roland, but there are three other councillors, spaces for councillors to attend,
sure,
if anybody wants to put their name forward.
Chair, I'd propose Robert Burgess if there's space available.
Chair, I propose myself, but in relation to it, but we've had this before.
Speaker,
we have Nilga members that represent this council, so we do, that sit on it, so we do. And are they not going? Are they not going to the Nilga conference and the function later on? We had this a couple of years ago, where the Down, Newry Morning Down councillors were left standing outside that night, and if it hadn't have been for APSE letting us sit at their table, it was an embarrassment. So it was. Now, you know, we're there on a regular basis. A number of us never miss Nilga meetings in that. And I think it's only right that the Nilga members of this council go to that.
And sure, we've no issue at all with that. If there are names from Nilga that are members and that are attending, then they'll be listed on the table. I think both Councillor Casey and Councillor Andrews are referencing here that they're going, so, and then yourself. So, and Councillor Burgess. Yeah. It's just to keep everybody right with the minutes. So we've Councillor Burgess, Andrews, Casey, and Walker.
Lovely.
And Chair, we've also any other Nilga members who want to go give their names in Democratic Services.
Chair, we need the names for the minutes, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Hold on,
yeah. Sorry, Chair, I was just wondering if any members of staff getting an opportunity to attend it.
Yeah, sure, there are members of staff that are going to be attending as well from both services.
All right.
Okay.
So is there anybody not going then? All right, on to item number 13. Local Government Partnership on Travellers Conference on the 14th and 15th of May.
Yeah, Chair, and the names just are contained within the letter, the nominees from our council, and that's Councillor Casey, Stokes, Tinley, and then one officer, Suzanne Rice, if members are happy to propose and second that.
So proposed.
Do you second it for us?
Second,
Chair. Councillor Rowan. Number 14, correspondence from our Ards and North Down Borough Council.
Chair, the remainder 14 through to 18 are correspondence from various councils. If anybody just has any queries regarding me.
They're all for noting.
Yeah.
Chairperson, I have a conflict of interest in 15, 16, 17 and 18, so I'd need to leave the room if you're going to discuss them.
No, I think we're just noting them. So you don't call the leave the room. That's grand, thank you very much. We're on to now number 19, the notices of motion. And the first one is on the Ballinahinch bypass, and the council are going to hear and debate this. Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much, and I'll just read the motion out. This council writes to the newly installed Minister for Infrastructure requesting an urgent meeting to discuss the next step of the Ballinahinch bypass, and further underlines the fact that the bypass is vital to the survival of Ballinahinch town and also to the commuting community in this part of the district. We believe that this project is shovel ready and needs urgent ministerial decision and approval. Fellow councillors, over the years I have travelled all over Northern Ireland and have seen all the infrastructure projects and work that has been taking place. Sadly and unfortunately, the Newry Mourne and Down area has seen none of this funding. And I believe the time has come for us as a council to demand our fair share of funding for infrastructure projects in the Newry, Mourne and Down area. I've been a councillor for over 14 years and the bypass issue has been raised every single year and long before I was a councillor. The department has now moved to a position where all its ducks are now in a row. The public inquiry has been completed and the only thing delaying its delivery is funding. With the Assembly now restored and a minister now in place, we as a council seek an urgent meeting with the minister to seek the immediate release of funding so work on the bypass can commence. Now, fellow councillors, I hope we all support this motion tonight. As I've said, I've been in council coming up in 15 years and it has been a subject that has been raised on numerous occasions when the department delivers the presentation. I think the time now has come for Newry, Mourne and Down to get their first slice of the cake when it comes to funding for infrastructure projects. For all too long, we have been playing second fiddle and catch up. When you go up the country and you head up the meetings up the country and you see the work that's going on there, it makes you envious, so it does, that ministers are pumping money into other parts of Northern Ireland and excluding Newry, Mourne and Down. Now, I will finish by saying that I think the opportunity is here for the minister to have a serious look at this and agree, hopefully sooner rather than later, to release funding that will let us move on and let us develop our bypass, because it's something that's needed for this district and I believe it will enhance trade and business in and around the greater Ballinahinch area. So I'm asking, hopefully, every fellow councillor to support my motion tonight. And as I say, we demand a meeting with the minister urgently in relation to this.
I did notice that Catherine's light was flashing directly after William indicated he was speaking. So I'm going to take you in, Catherine, all right? I'm sure the rest of it. No. Do it in somebody else's mic there, I think.
Oh, there we go. Got me now. Thank you. I would like to second Councillor Walker's motion. All I can say is from a personal experience, my grandfather, whenever he was a councillor, I still remember him going on, a Rowallan councillor, before Robert Burgess, and I remember him going on about this. The traffic around Ballinahinch is terrible. Small businesses are suffering because people are sitting there backed up in traffic jams the whole way back towards Newcastle, the whole way coming in from St Field, and coming in then all the other main roads as well. The small businesses are suffering. We need this. We've been campaigning for about 50 years and all I want to do is just support what Billy is calling for. Thank you.
Is it in order for me to talk now, or do you want somebody else in?
See, Robert was next in line, but if he's prepared to let you go ahead, we'll take it, rather than skew all the mics. So go ahead. All right, Catherine, it's not your fault.
Well, Chairperson, I think this was first mooted when Brian Faulkner was Prime Minister of the old Stormont government. It's something that certainly in Down Council we campaigned for decades. And I know that most recently, when Chris Hazard was minister, he did move it on substantially to the place where it is now. And we had believed at that stage that the money was hypothecated for this project. This is an extremely important project for East Down because 5,500 people commute from this area to the greater Belfast area. And they get stuck in Ballinahinch, they get stuck on the A1, which has not been dualled despite years of looking for it. I would say, however, this is a very important proposal that Billy's brought forward. I would say, though, we shouldn't sit in our hands. It's been 4 years, almost 4 years, since Peter May, as permanent secretary for the Department of Infrastructure, told us that we could actually ourselves issue a Section 76 order in respect of Downpatrick's Ring Road. And it was a perfect project for such a thing. We haven't done it yet. Since that time, hundreds of houses have had planning permission. We could have had, at this stage, now well over £1 million in the bank towards that particular project. So I would say to you, it's not just a matter of looking to other people to help us. We also need to try and help ourselves. Thank you.
Okay. We in Ulster Unionist Party are 100% behind this notice of motion. And we look forward to this bypass being delivered. But not only, Chair, does it allow the traffic to flow through Baldahinch if the bypass was done there, it actually, all the traffic from the far away is Kilkeel, going to work in the morning. I'm sure it would take at least an hour of their time, but that's how long it takes sometimes to go through Baldahinch. And then, I think we're losing out big time in the summertime, people trying to go to Newcastle, because now it's quicker to go to Portrush from Belfast than it is to Newcastle. So I think we're losing out in the tourism side of it. So I look forward to this bypass being done sooner rather than later and support Councillor Walker and this notice of motion.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, the Alliance Party will be endorsing this motion, and I would like to thank Councillor Walker for bringing it forward. Very timely indeed, given the restoration of the executive, and great that we now have the Ballinhinch bypass up, hopefully near the top of the new minister's in tray as an invite to this area. Also echo the comments of Councillor Burgess there. The log jam that is Ballinhinch is significantly holding up economic development and tourism for the area. There's also significant safety concerns as well, where there is in effect a de facto Ballinhinch bypass up through a lot of residential areas which are speed bumps in the town, which is a safety risk in and of itself. So very glad to see this at the top of the agenda this evening, and it has my full support.
Calvi.
Thanks, Chair. Sinn Féin will be supporting Councillor Walker's motion tonight as well. As we know, Ballinhinch is a gateway to the wider South Down area, both for non-strategic tourism traffic and strategic HGVs. All this traffic must negotiate Ballinhinch Town Centre with a series of chronologically congested junctions. This doesn't only frustrate drivers who are part of the through traffic, but it increases the tension and danger for those living, shopping and working in the town. The proposed bypass will run around the eastern periphery of the town, with one immediate grade separated junction at the Crossgar Road. Housing is also being permitted up to the line of the road, and it includes the potential for a park and ride site. This scheme, as has been alluded to here, has been proposed since the 1960s. And for decades, the local community, political reps from all parties have demanded a bypass in Ballinhinch. So in the early 2000s, the Roads Department began to slowly put together possible designs and routes for consideration. Local MLA Chris Hazard then became the Minister for Infrastructure following the May 2016 election and immediately prioritised this scheme, announcing his decision to proceed in December 2016 and commence the final stages of preparation before construction. The Minister ensured that the Ballinhinch bypass scheme was now categorised as the highest priority bypass scheme being taken forward by the Department anywhere in the north. In December 2016, the estimated cost was approximately 35 to 40 million, likely to take 18 months to 2 years for construction. And before leaving his office, Minister Chris Hazard instructed the officials to continue prioritising this scheme until completion, unless otherwise instructed by a minister, therefore allowing preparation works to continue despite the lack of a minister. Between 2017 and 2019, a series of surveys, archaeological investigations were carried out on the land along the length of the route so its final designs could be completed ahead of legal contracts and construction. So by 2019, the scheme had completed all the statutory processes. All that is left to do is the final legal orders and the Minister to sign off on the resources for construction. So Sinn Féin are now calling on the incoming Minister to complete the good work that was previously carried out and see that this scheme moves to construction without further delay. The tender process for construction should begin ASAP. There's no reason why the construction cannot commence this time next year and the scheme be completed and open to vehicles by 2023. The now Minister has a comparatively large capital budget, literally hundreds of millions. The Ballinhinch bypass is superb value for money and should commence without delay. If there isn't a positive statement from the Minister in the weeks ahead, then this Council should seek an urgent meeting, as Councillor Walker has alluded to ascertain why she does not support the scheme. So thank you, Councillor Walker, for bringing this to the Council.
I would concur with Councillor Walker and other councillors there. Ballinhinch itself has become gridlocked. I work within Ballinhinch, and it would take me probably, for less than a mile, probably 25 to 30 minutes to get one place. And it is a main route. It's a main route from Castlewell to Key, Newcastle, and likewise the other way. For years, it has been suggested and talked about. It needs to be addressed, and addressed quickly. As a party group, we have spoken to our party colleague regarding this issue, and our party colleague has agreed to speak to the officials and to start following up in that. But yes, we would concur it needs to be addressed.
Thank you very much for that. Alan? I just want to concur with the councillors. I concur with Councillor Walker's motion that I can't remember the last time that a major capital project did take place within this council area, and I think that the council should do everything at the highest level to lobby for this and ensure that the bypass is progressed as soon as possible, and need to take into account that, as other councillors have alluded to, there's outlying problems with side roads being used as an unofficial bypass. Continually I'm getting calls from parents in the spa who's lifting their children from the spa school or leaving them off there, and the spa is actually being used as an unofficial route around Ballinhinch. You've got the Carlisle Estate and you've got the Riverside Road, where there are parents leaving children to school who are very concerned about the speed of vehicles. I've tried to get this addressed with the PSNI, but all this is problems offshooting from the lack of a Ballinhinch bypass. You've got cars that are hitting Ballinhinch at the wrong time and could literally put an extra half hour onto their travel time. This is a big problem, a major problem. The council should do all it can to lobby at the highest level possible.
Henry.
Yeah, Chairman, I'd like to thank Councillor Walker for bringing forward this very pertinent notice of motion at this time. And I would just like to point out, Glenn and I were discussing there, it's Ballinhinch is important, but it's the whole A2, the whole way down to Kilkeel. And we've now got an aircraft factory there, you know, into its second thousand of workers now. The harbour is continuing to expand, and the volume of traffic is coming up and down that road, and they get charter blocked in Ballinhinch, and people are now trying to avoid that area, but it's nearly impossible, and it really does need done for the sake of the whole economy in South Down. It is so important that Ballinhinch is sorted out. Thank you.
Terry, you want in there?
Thank you very much. Welcome to motion, and I have been a firm supporter of the Ballinhinch bypass since being elected to the council for the first time in 2011. And I know that this project was when Brian Faulkner was Minister of Development in the mid-1960s. I was in Abbeys at the time, and the Beatles they were photographed on the pedestrian cross on the Abbey Road. That's how long it's been on the go. Well, anyhow, I'd met the permanent secretary along with Jim Shannon and local MLAs and Councillor Walker over a year ago, and they had mentioned that the proposal was shovel ready, subject to funding becoming available. I've spoken already, you know, I do travel the roads from the and I'm never off them. Whenever you look elsewhere, the high standard of roads and investment is quite eye watering compared to what we have here. Just go south to Carrickduff and you think you're in a different country altogether. But as I say, it's already been touched on, the bottlenecks stay in Daly and Ballinhinch, and the one way system in place, semi movement. And residents right across Ballinhinch, as it was already touched on, like Carlisle Park, whatever, and Round Hill, and Windmill Gardens, and all, as easy shortcuts. And we also have to mention Doran's Rock as well, because these two schemes make their annual appearance on the annual report the Road Service gives us, and the local staff are to be commended. And again, I do support the motion. I have contacted the new minister of Rowell and Council, and my party colleagues have done the same. My support is without question, and this proposed council meeting with the new minister to be set up as soon as possible. But it's a good motion, and well done.
Thank you very much.
Never mind the Beatles.
Terry's the last speaker. All agreed then, are we, on the action coming out of that? Thanks very much for that. Item number 20, domestic abuse. This has been deferred. It crosses a number of different committees, but it's been deferred initially to EHC and taken up at the Health Committee meeting in the month of February now. We've just asked Councillor Rushing Howell to speak to the motion and then we'll just move on.
But this council recognises 2019 saw the north of Ireland experience the highest number of domestic abuse incidents since records began, and agrees to work collaboratively with statutory and voluntary agencies and health trusts to ensure support and protection of individuals and families experiencing domestic violence be a priority within all council facilities.
There's a seconder for that. Second by Jerry. On to item number 21. That's the notice of motion A1 Junctions, and it's in the name of Councillor Jarlath Henley. Jarlath, over to you.
Thank you, Chairman. Motion reads, Chairman, this council make a formal written submission to the upcoming A1 Junctions Phase 2 public inquiry, which is to begin in March 2020. The submission will reflect the full support of this council for an urgent upgrade of this road as per the DFA proposals. A stretch of road that has brought so much devastation to the families of many local people who have lost their lives while travelling on it over the years. Council will also write to the other local authorities through which the A1 travels, namely Lisburn and Castlereagh City Council and Armagh City, Banbridge and Craigavon Borough Council, urging them to support our motion and requesting that they too make their own submissions to the inquiry. Chairman, the A1 is the main road between the two biggest cities on this island, and a road travels by thousands of residents of this district on a daily basis. Unfortunately, it is also a lethal stretch of road that has claimed the lives of many of those residents, including on the 23rd of May 2018, the life of Carol Heaney. And I am delighted to bring this motion tonight in the presence of Carol's mother, Monica, who joins us in the public gallery. In the 20 months since Monica lost her beloved son, she has become a determined and vocal campaigner to ensure that the Department for Infrastructure will deliver on these much-needed and long-promised road improvements. Carol Heaney is, of course, only one of 60 victims who have lost their lives on this road since 1998. A startling statistic, I'm sure members will agree. And as such, I believe the case for an urgent upgrade has long ago been made. The DFA are well aware the public opinion for this proposed upgrade is overwhelmingly in favour of their proposals. This support was reinforced by the views submitted via the statutory public consultation between March 25th and June 28th, 2019, during which the DFA received 91 substantive submissions, of which 63 were expressing support for the proposal, whilst there were 13 objections, two of which were subsequently withdrawn. One of those 63 letters of support came from Monica Heaney, and included in her response was a petition of over 12,000 signatures. So it is disappointing, Chairman, that despite the volume of support, the DFA felt obliged to initiate a public inquiry. And it is for this reason that we as a council should now offer our unqualified support for the improvement proposals. We as a council need to applaud the tenacity and determination of local people like Monica Heaney as she seeks to honour the memory of her son Carl by ensuring that his death in May 2018 will not be in vain. And what better way to express our support for her campaign than by making a submission to the public inquiry in March, calling for the urgent delivery of the proposed improvements. I commend this motion to my fellow councillors.
Thanks very much, Charlie.
Thank you, Chair.
Roisin.
Thank you very much, Chair. I certainly have no issue at all in seconding the motion as brought by Councillor Tinley. I think we all welcome the Department of Infrastructure's decision to have a look at this road. Certainly they intend to implement some significant and major changes, and I think that is why they have to go through the process that they are going through. My understanding of it is that among those changes will be 4 new grade separated junctions, 21 improved access points, 9 road closures and enhanced central reservation barriers, among others. There's no doubt about it, this is an incredibly busy road with 40,000 plus vehicles using it every single day. And I think pretty much all elected representatives have made some form of presentation to the department, because I know certainly most of us on this side of the chamber know personally some young people who have also lost their lives in that stretch of road. So we share the pain of the families who have suffered loss because it has hit all of our communities. So as I say, we have absolutely no hesitation in supporting this. I do know that my own party colleagues are attending a meeting in the Belmont on Thursday evening in Banbridge with the Department of Infrastructure with a view to moving this on. And at that meeting, it's expected that the process of looking at the review is going to take until 2021. We will be pushing as strongly and as rigorously as we possibly can to ensure that any interim measures to make that road safer until these works are carried out will be implemented, because, as I said, this is something that affects our entire community. So thank you very much, Chair.
Karen.
Thanks very much, Chair. And us as the SDLP group will be certainly supporting this motion. The A1 road is something that I have been dealing with from an elected representative from 2005. And there's many a time that we had to stand and grieve and offer sympathies to far too many local people on the whole stretch of the road. And none other, I do remember Carol Heaney. I remember 3 young lads coming home from university as well, one of them young Havern from my own constituency, and very, very sad. But the junction itself is right, you know, the works need to be done immediately on it. And at the road service meeting on the 26th of August, it was briefly discussed about and about our council being prepared for to put in a submission and certainly opinions on the schemes that's going. And phase 3 as well of this road is very, very important to the Beech Hill residents. We're at Drummondtown there, where there's been numerous fatalities as well, and the sooner that all those junctions are closed off along this A1 route, the better. And if any of those can be done before this public inquiry finishes, let's call for it as it is today, and because you can't put a price on any life. And Carol Heaney's mother will certainly be able to say that I'm sure herself, and our sympathies are with them. But the work that they have done, I have to praise and give credit where credit's due. I didn't get to attend the launch of their group last week, but certainly my thoughts were with them, and I fully support any victims' families along the route in any way we can. As the council, we should be offering that as well. But just that, certainly, I have no problem in even saying that I've already wrote to the infrastructure minister requesting a meeting about the whole route of the A1, and hopefully that will come into fruition very, very soon. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Karen. David?
Chair, thank you. On behalf of the Ulster Unionist Party group, and we're fully behind the motion here this evening. And thank Councillor Kennedy for bringing it forward to the chamber tonight. I think it's clear that all parties are extremely anxious for this work to be carried out. As a matter of urgency, there has been too many accidents on this road over the years, and too many people have lost their lives. And as Roisin said, unfortunately, we've all known somebody that has, you know, sadly passed away as a result of an accident on that. On the A1, it's an extremely busy road, it's an extremely dangerous road, and it's clear that these works are long overdue. And any pressure that we can apply, and also encouraging other councils to apply to ensure that it is done as soon as possible, that in a way I'm fully behind that, and I do want to pay tribute to the Cards Mum, who's here this evening. I've had the pleasure of meeting her a number of months ago. She may not remember, but it was at a meeting in the Moor Country Hotel regarding an issue that was affecting the Tamale area, and certainly seen some of the work that your group is doing, and I want to pay tribute to them as well for that and highlighting issues regarding road safety. But I think it's clear that everybody's fully behind us tonight, and I certainly hope that the pressure we apply, and indeed that the necessary resources were provided to ensure that this happens sooner rather than later. It needs to happen as a matter of urgency. Thank you.
Catherine?
The DUC will be supporting this motion as well regarding the upgrade of the A1. As a mother myself of a young lad, my thoughts completely go out to Monica. Delaying this upgrade any longer will cost more lives on one of Northern Ireland's most dangerous roads. I believe there has been a petition completed which gained over 12,000 signatures. After travelling up and down this road many times myself since becoming a councillor, I appreciate that the A1 is simply a death trap and that there have been many fatalities with two last year, I believe, and would like to see all that can be done to move this forward. The proposed upgrade was first published in 2011. Dangerous issues on this road are many, but some of the problems that are there are the gaps in the central reserve separating the opposing traffic flows, allowing vehicles to turn right and perform U-turns, which is extremely dangerous given the speeds that are on that road. There are also several private farm access roads which join directly onto the A1, meaning that agricultural traffic can come out and cause major problems. There are long stretches of the road where there is no central reservation. These are all factors that are aggravated by poor visibility areas, and it is for this that the DUP will be supporting this.
You, Henry?
Yeah, thanks, Chairman. Chairman, I remember hearing on the news about that young lad that Jarlath referred to and thinking about him and his family. And I remember the crossing between Banbridge heading towards Refreyland. And for years there was no overpass there, and there was fatalities virtually every month on it. And as soon as that overpass was constructed, there hasn't been one since. So obviously it is the infrastructure that's causing these terrible accidents. And I remember Simon, it's Simon Richardson, isn't it, the head of the roads? And he was in here, and he said that was one of his priorities to do that work. And he said that councillors throughout the Southern Division would have to accept that would get priority, and it may, you know, take away from other schemes. And I think there was more a less universal agreement that, you know, there would be no objections to that work being prioritised. So I'm disappointed that it hasn't actually been done by now, because it is so important. It's a high-speed motorway with none of the protection that a motorway offers, and it needs to be done as quickly as possible. So I'm 100% behind Jarlath's notice of motion.
Thanks, Henry. Yeah.
Chair, I'd like to support Councillor Tammy's motion. Myself, and I've seen a number of councillors at the Omniflex last week, and I was very emotional. There wasn't a dry eye in the room. So I'd like to pay a tribute to Monica and all the families who were there last week, and it's very emotional for everyone. So I support that motion.
The last speaker, is it? We all agreed on the actions coming out of that. Do you want to sum up, Dorothy?
Just Chairman, to express my gratitude to my fellow councillors for what I've just heard, and no doubt I can also speak on behalf of Monica that she would like to express her gratitude and thanks. And I hope she takes great comfort from what she's heard in this chamber, Chairman, in the last 10 minutes. It's very heartening to have unanimous support of my fellow councillors for these road improvement proposals, and I sincerely hope that a corporate view from this council will carry appropriate weight in the deliberations of the inquiry panel. Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks, Jarlath, for that. We're all agreed then, councillors, yeah? Thank you very much. On to item number 22. Fireworks is the only heading I have here, and I hope there isn't. Councillor Brown?
We'll keep the actual fireworks to a minimum, Chair. Thank you. So the motion reads, in the interest of animal welfare, this council will cease to use, purchase or fund fireworks and fireworks displays for events in the district. It recognises the unnecessary distress that fireworks can cause for animals and will investigate alternative ways of celebrating events such as silent fireworks or lighting laser displays. Now, I realise this may not appear to be perhaps the most pressing issue facing council right now for many of you and for me as well. Until I was lobbied onto it, I wasn't aware of these issues, hadn't really thought about them either. But there is a very strong concern, particularly amongst animal owners out there and also animal welfare activists, about the harm that fireworks can cause. It was actually me bringing the motion was inspired first and foremost by a relative losing their dog just shortly before Christmas time due to an unexpected and quite poorly advertised council firework display. Despite living a number of miles outside the town, the dog bolted and was never seen again. Since tabling the motion, I've actually been contacted by several animal charities, dog kennels, farmers and individual animal owners expressing their support for this idea and telling me of the fear and distress caused by traditional firework displays, as well as panicked dogs. This also includes livestock and horses who have a high risk of bolting in fear and causing damage to themselves. I personally know of horses locally who have had to be put down because of broken legs or becoming entangled in barbed wire fences due to fear of fireworks. This is why the RSPCA led a campaign called Bang Out of Order, which highlighted that they received 411 calls in 2018 alone on firework-related issues. Over 50% of cats, dogs and horses show signs of distress during firework displays. Horses in particular risk injury to themselves or even to motorists from bolting onto roads. There have been over 100 horse-related injuries caused by firework displays in the UK in recent years. One in four vets have seen firework-related injuries in 2018 alone, and nearly 30,000 people responded to a UK government consultation on firework regulation in 2019, with over 70% stating that the effect of noise on animals concerned them. But as well as domestic and wild animals, research from the RSPCA also highlighted the impact that fireworks can have on humans, including, in particular, military veterans or anyone with gunshot or explosion-related PTSD, as well as some children and adults with autism. In fact, the National Autistic Society found that many parents with autistic children who have additional sensory or hearing conditions do not attend bonfire night celebrations, for example, or similar events with fireworks for that reason. There is a clear antisocial aspect to fireworks where they are purchased illegally, and although it is beyond the scope of this council and this motion, there are actually stricter laws around acquiring fireworks in Northern Ireland, so it's worth recognising the reasons why fireworks are often used as a means of causing antisocial behaviour, however, and that is because they are naturally disruptive and quite distressing to many. But it is important to note that there are positive aspects to well-organised fireworks displays, and they can indeed bring the community together, are often used for fundraising or charity events, and for many people I recognise that they are enjoyable, and there are legitimate concerns perhaps from community groups that this motion could impact their events or even reduce or change the nature of their funding. It's important to note that this is not a motion to ban fireworks altogether, and in fact my original motion should probably have said the word quiet instead of silent. There's actually no such thing as completely silent fireworks, but instead fireworks that, and I'm willing to make a change to the wording, perhaps if that wording was too strong there. After reading more and more, well, I mean, if anyone else wants to make an amendment, that's fine as well. I mean, what the motion says is that the council should look into alternatives. I said silent fireworks. After looking more into that, the technical term should really be quiet fireworks. They have the same light quality. They still emit a bang, but they are significantly quieter than traditional fireworks. They are 30 decibels quieter on average. The average firework is 120 decibels. Laser displays would also be another option. Killaloe Community Association had a small laser display at their last Christmas fair, which was very successful, although there would be more elaborate options available as well, such as drone displays, which the council could research the costs of. The costs, thank you, Chair, The cost of quiet fireworks, however, which provide completely the same aesthetic value without the loud bang, are only slightly more expensive than traditional fireworks. For example, after looking at a number of firework display providers, an 8 to 10 minute traditional firework display would cost £3,000, whereas a quiet firework display costs £3,500. So hardly an unbearable additional expense in the interest of animal welfare. The only additional provision might be music to go along with the quieter fireworks. If we take the steps to endorse this motion, we would be building on work already done by this council to ban Chinese lanterns from council land in 2017, another form of sky litter. We would also be building on the work already done by councils across the UK to introduce quiet fireworks or laser displays in Bradford, Salford, Cheshire West, Bidford, as well as examples further afield in Italy and Shanghai as well. Also, and crucially, this motion is an opportunity for the council to raise awareness of the risks of fireworks generally. Many people using fireworks privately and legally may not be aware of the harm they can cause to animals or people, and this could send a message encouraging more responsible or thoughtful use, such as purchasing quiet fireworks instead. Also, having spoken to a few companies providing displays, it is actually very easy for them to adjust to changes in demand from traditional loud fireworks to more quiet displays, so I don't think there would be an adverse economic impact to any local traders. Finally, banning traditional displays in favour of alternatives would allow the council to still offer the same community events, but ones that are much more empathetic and inclusive to all members of the community, including pets and animals. Thank you.
You going to second it, William?
No.
Well, I need a second then before I take you in. Councillor Enright. Right, William.
Chair, thank you very much. And in relation to the motion, I agree with a lot of the sentiments of Councillor Brown, but we can't support the motion as it stands. Over the course of a year, I don't think there's too many firework displays that the council are engaged in. I do know the Hallow Tides in Newcastle, which is a great success. It brings thousands onto the streets, and the majority of them people, if you ask them, come to see the firework display. Now, yes, the impact it does have in animals is you know, frightening and that. But I think what we need to do here is, it's not the controlled displays we need to be trying to deal with. We need to be trying to deal with people that's getting their hands in fireworks and letting them off in towns and villages right throughout Newry Morning Down in the run up to Halloween. That's what's causing the biggest problem within the district. And I think that in relation to it, what I think is that we should be writing to the Department of Justice, because they're responsible for issuing these licences. And we should be asking them to tighten up on licences in that. Now, Patrick's party leader is the Justice Minister, so she is. So we should be writing to her in relation to this. But I don't think the motion as it stands is a good motion in relation to banning the use of fireworks, and I would say controlled fireworks, and that, yes, we could do a wee bit more marketing in the run-up to events and that. But I think it's wrong in that, and we should be looking at people selling fireworks illegally, making sure they have the right licences and that. And that should be done by the Department of Justice, who issue them in the first place. And that, so as it stands, our party will not be supporting the motion.
Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm seeking to amend this, but I could also propose a small amendment to include So I'm seconding, yes, but I'm also prepared to, if necessary, propose a small amendment to include quiet. Could I just say, before being canvassed by this by a number of welfare, RSPCA, or farming interests on this particular motion, I had no idea that it actually existed as an issue. Statistically, it is an issue, and large numbers of animals are harmed annually, both in the farming sector and in the pet sector by this by basically the noise that emanates from fireworks. So I would say that we only have real control over over the large displays. Before I was canvassing this, I wasn't even aware that quiet fireworks were a thing. Apparently it is. And apparently you can have fireworks that explode at 30 decibels rather than 120 decibels, and apparently it makes no difference to the show that it puts on, it simply reduces the volume. We do have control over most of the large displays in our council area, so it is something we can take, we can tackle. I agree with what Billy says, is that some of the worst abuse of animals is where you get the antisocial small-scale use of fireworks in housing estates, which causes great distress for animals. But we don't really have direct control over that, and there's nothing much we can do in passing motions other than perhaps, as Billy says, write to the Justice Minister and try and see what can be done between the various agencies to rein in the availability of illegal fireworks. That being said, we do control our own fireworks. We could choose, if we wanted to use quiet fireworks instead of the normal fireworks. And I would both second and propose a small wording change to insert that into the motion. Thank you.
All right.
Chair, Sinn Féin like make an amendment in regards to more in line with the RSPCA campaign, where we did receive lobbying letters in regards to making improvements in regards to animal welfare during fireworks displays. The amendment is to remove all the wording except the council to read this council resolves to require all public firework displays within the local authority boundaries to be advertised in advance of the event, allowing residents to take precautions for their animals and vulnerable people, to actively promote a public awareness campaign about the impact of fireworks on animal welfare and vulnerable people, including the precautions that can be taken to mitigate risks. It is important that we as a council recognise that events need to be inclusive and accessible to everyone, especially those with additional needs and heightened sensory perception. As I said, this is more in line with the RSPCA campaign. I think it's more pragmatic and realistic. I think it's a few rockets speaking the night. In regards to firework displays, they're enjoyed by thousands of families across our district, and they bring great benefits to our community, including economic benefits, but well-being in the community as well, bringing communities together, bringing families together, reducing antisocial behaviour. I'm not against if a community group wants to have quiet fireworks and laser shows, but I've been to a couple of laser shows, and if you get a misty night, it's not a great show. You don't see anything. And we were at one in Warren Point when I was working on the pizza truck up in Warren Point. It was a really bad night, and you didn't see a thing. So everybody went home. A lot of people went home during that. So I think the fireworks, when they're responsibly put on, and particularly the council's firework displays, you know, the security aspect and the health and safety aspect to our shows is second to none. And I'm sure all the community festivals who obtain funding from the PCSP and also to voluntary contributions, they put on a lot of good shows as well. I'm thinking of the Downpatrick Collective. I'm sure in Warren Point there's a show as well that's put on. So there's a lot of good community shows across the district. And I think just banning fireworks, it's prohibition. It will just increase the use of illegal fireworks. There has been a decrease in the illegal use of fireworks, certainly in the last decade, because I remember communities were destroyed by the illegal use of fireworks. Vulnerable people were frightened in their homes. Animals were attacked with fireworks.
I've actually seen a decrease. But there is still illegal fireworks in circulation. But I think the license that we have in place, it is robust. It's probably one of the most robust criteria and license and regime for fireworks probably in these islands. But I think, as I say, communities would be destroyed if we took a negative step backwards and, as I said, would increase the uncontrolled use of firework in our communities, and it would be a retrograde step. I think what the motion or the amendment is trying to achieve is better communication, proper engagement, and in regards to animal lovers, I'm an animal lover myself. I have a dog and a cat, and a lot of my family would have animals and pets as well. But you do take precautions. You don't bring them to a firework display in regards to you have them indoors. I know there's a circular, I think a letter going around, in regards to horses. Yeah, that needs a proper engagement. We need to engage with the animal owners, be it the farming community, be it other livestock, including horses. There has to be that public awareness that the event's taking place so they can make alternative arrangements for their animals. And that's what the amendment seeks to do. But to say that you're not even going to buy in from the community. The community isn't going to buy into this. You know, you need to take people with you. And it's not just animals, as I say, it's vulnerable citizens, including autistic children who want to maybe, as a family, enjoy the pleasure of the firework display. There is alternatives to that to assist autistic children and adults. But I'm going to let Councillor Hanlon talk in that regard. So, as I say, there's many really useful aspects we can put into place to improve the experience for everybody. But I just think the motion as it was worded, it couldn't be accepted, and that's why I'm making an amendment.
Before I take the next speaker, and I think Seth and Marie have had a discussion here with and we think standing orders, and we think it's not necessarily an amendment. It's more like a direct negative against the original proposal. So it would need to be another.
Not sure. Because the proposal, if you don't mind the proposal, I've already amended it.
Is your microphone on?
Decent, so it would be a direct negative for the Chancellor Byrne getting already amended, which it is.
So, well, Councillor Byrne.
Sure, sorry, can I just clarify? The only amendment that I picked up from Councillor Brown, which he hadn't clarified, was the word quiet from silent. I didn't pick up any other amendments. There's been no amendment proposed or seconded by him.
He didn't want to use more seats, and maybe it shouldn't read like that. If he doesn't want to stop using fireworks, he can put that forward. That needs to be cleared up, and if that's cleared up, an amendment can.
I think we would need to clarify what Councillor Brown's amendment on his wording was first. So if everybody could just switch the mics off to allow Councillor Brown in.
Are you keeping track of who's next there now?
Charlie,
you're next, guys.
I'm after.
And trying to use quiet firework displays instead of traditional firework displays. The distinction is quite clear if you go on to the websites of the providers. They actually, a lot of them have different columns where they'll price out the two different options. As it stands, I am happy to accept the gist of what Councillor Clark is proposing, although, I mean, Councillor Clark himself talks about the need to look at alternatives. I realise laser display is not always the most appropriate option, but certainly quiet displays in terms of people with, you know, sensory conditions and so on. I would like to see something along those lines that this council should look into alternative options, potentially costing those and bringing back a paper tacked on to the wording proposed by Councillor Clark, and I would be happy enough to accept that amendment.
Sure. Can I ask Councillor Brown just to clarify the wording of his motion then as it stands at the minute?
Yeah, as it stands at the minute, as it should
as
be.
As with the amendments in it.
Oh, it would be in the interest of animal welfare. This council will cease to use, purchase, or fund traditional fireworks and traditional fireworks displays for events in the district. It recognises the unnecessary distress that fireworks can cause for animals and will investigate alternative ways of celebrating events such as quiet fireworks or lighting laser displays. That would be my amendment.
The word cease is what creates the direct negative?
Yeah, okay. Well, Okay. Yeah. Well, see...
If you remove the word seat too and just have in the interest of animal welfare, this council will purchase or fund fireworks displays for events in the district. It recognises the unnecessary distress that fireworks can cause our animals and will investigate alternative ways of celebrating events such as silent fireworks or...
Well, no, because I couldn't just take out seats because that would be an endorsement of using traditional displays, which is obviously not what I want. But I'm willing to accept Councillor Clark's proposal as a compromise that instead of an outright ban, we look at a public awareness campaign and alternatives wherever possible. Okay. Okay, so...
Try to search him on the ceasefire.
Okay, so what about, in the interest of animal welfare, council recognises the distress that traditional fireworks displays can cause, and will investigate alternative ways of celebrating events such as quiet fireworks.
Or and then with Councillor Clark's amendment, so could we have a seconder for the amendment to Councillor Brown's proposal? And Councillor Emmerich, and then proposed by Councillor Clark was the additional amendment.
I'll second.
And accepted by Councillor Brown. Can you just, for the record, on your mic, Councillor Brown, can you just, for the record, on your mic?
You want?
Yes, please.
That includes the proviso about looking into alternatives on top of what Councillor Clark.
So I maybe clarify the wording for everybody then, if that's a benefit, is it? Or I'll try. In the interest of animal welfare, Council will recognise the unnecessary distress that fireworks can cause for animals and will investigate alternative ways of celebrating events such as quiet fireworks or lighting strictly as your displays. Council will resolve to require all public fireworks displays within the local authority boundaries to be advertised in advance of the event, allowing residents to take precautions for their animals and vulnerable people, to actively promote a public awareness campaign about the impact of fireworks on animal welfare and vulnerable people, including the precautions that can be taken to mitigate risks. It is important that we as a council recognise that events need to be inclusive and accessible to everyone, especially those with additional needs and heightened sensory perception.
Okay.
Is everybody in agreement with that then?
Yeah.
So we can continue the debate.
Thanks to the Right Honourable. You're next.
Right, well, see, this is what happens when you fire an emotion and you don't research or think it through. Sometimes it causes a bit of confusion. But I suppose, as some of the previous speakers have said, you know, we are all animal owners and fully supportive of protecting the welfare of animals. And I think the legislation needs to be enforced to regulate the supply, storage and possession, use and misuse of fireworks to help ensure public safety. Some of the powers that are included is to prosecute those who use fireworks in a dangerous or antisocial behaviour. The legislation also states that fireworks are prohibited of use from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. and there is a limit of noise level of consumer fireworks to 120 decibels. There is powers in the legislation which I am sure if we find out through freedom of information, there has been never an on-spot fine of £90 or prosecution that can result in £5,000. But really, a number of previous speakers mentioned, we need to consider the effects of what a ban on community groups and local fundraising would be. Community groups have stated, and many of us have seen photos through social media, from the groups that have the support for their displays by the local community, and it does improve cohesion. Councillor Clark did mention Downpatrick Community Collective Halloween event, and last year they had over 4,000 people attend that, and all the local residents that were near that area of fireworks were informed weeks in advance of such events so that they would be prepared for that. And I think the amendment that has been put forward by Councillor Clark, where the council will take that action, will certainly improve the effect it has on animals and especially people who are vulnerable. Furthermore, the previous motion actually goes further than what the RSPCA actually have called for themselves. They never called for a complete ban on fireworks. So I'm glad to see that Councillor Brown has amended his amendment to his motion to remove such wording as the organisation didn't call for that. But what I also would say, a complete ban, and in reference to a Westminster report which was printed on the 29th of October 2019, which highlighted a complete ban would have the emergence of a black market. The National Fire Chiefs Council and the National Police Chiefs Council were concerned about the possibility of a ban pushing sales, and they used the word underground, not my word. But in the Republic of Ireland, you know, the general public are banned from using fireworks, and already organisations in the south are stating what impact that is having on them. But the last line I was going to say was that if you were going to have this motion pass as it was previously worded, you would be impacting on animal welfare more tonight, because it would cause more fireworks to be used illegally, not controlled, people not aware. So why would you want to pass a motion that was going to cause even more harm to animals than to those that are most vulnerable? So I think the amendment Councillor Clark is proposing now, is happy to say, and certainly allows us as a council organisation, working with those in partnership, to have improved and a guided way of ensuring those that are possibly impacted won't be impacted as severely.
Yeah, but this here was off of me, so. Well, I'll just go on ahead then. Very much endorsing what Councillor Sharvin said there in regards to, in particular, to the good work the Down Community Collective has done in Downpatrick with their displays around Christmas and Halloween time. I have to say, I bring my kids to these events and they absolutely love them. There's lots of noise at it, not just the fireworks, the music is loud, there's crowds of people, you know, so you could argue that that could affect animal welfare as well. You know, obviously if there are like larger animals like horses nearby, you know, it maybe is. It is something that we could look at, like letting the owners of these animals know. In regards as well to Willie had touched on it about children and adults with, you know, additional needs. You know, I went and researched on the autism website, and you know, it's not that they endorse like silent or none. They're just saying to prepare ahead, to look at things like maybe you know, headphones or maybe distractions for children, like maybe providing hot chocolate or sweets or weighted blankets, things like that there, that you're not excluding them from it, but you're allowing for them to be able to attend the events again, which in general are good fun, to be fair. And I know in regards to antisocial behaviour, take on board, a lot of the things are outside of the control of the council. You know, we only have to look at the issues we had this year in Downpat, or last year, in the estates where the fireworks were going off. They're nothing to do with us. It's not within our gift to be able to prevent that. And I know that a lot of people contacted me to say that their animals were frightened, but it's just not... It's not something we have any control over in that sense. So I think as well, in regards, if you looked at the figures throughout the district as well, these events actually reduce antisocial behaviour around Christmas time and around Halloween, where kids actually have something to go to. And I know my two teenager boys would be away to them as well. And I know where they are. I know they're safe. And I know that they're going to have good fun. So that's just making that point. So I'm glad to see the amendment going forward. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, just at the outset, I do have sympathy with some of the issues that Paddy raised, you know, through his motion. You know, that there is obvious concerns, you know, regarding animal welfare during times when fireworks are, you know, fireworks displays are taking place. But I certainly think, you know, from a council point of view, the council always takes a very responsible attitude to any display that it organises. You know, and I don't think any criticism could be directed towards them. The amendment that's been suggested, you know, certainly would have no issue supporting that. I think it's a better way of addressing the issue. And if there is ways of purchasing quieter fireworks, so be it. It again would go some way to addressing the issues that have been outlined originally by Councillor Brown. But I think the motion itself initially just it wouldn't work, and I think it's unfair to just say ban it completely, because, you know, we've seen Newcastle as an example somewhere I go each year. Again, Newry has it a night or two afterwards, and I see the benefits that brings to the areas on them nights from a tourism and economic point of view, the people that it brings into the areas. And certainly, you know, I don't think local businesses would welcome us banning them type of displays when they bring in, you know, so many people to an area. But the amendments as it stands, we're more than happy to support that. And I think that probably the general consensus would be that the councillors will do that.
Hi, thanks very much. I would just like to say that Billy did initially, from the DUP's position, say that we weren't going to support this. Obviously now, with the view of the amendments, we feel, and then Patrick's change in the words, we feel that now we can get behind this. I would just like to give you a bit of an insight. I've owned horses all my life, and yes, they... I don't have Billy's lungs, I'm sorry. I've lost my train of thought now. Where was I? Right, okay, horses. You see, you're all listening, thank you. So, listen, horses do scare really easily. There's no two ways about it. And horses don't necessarily think, they literally just bolt and do end up in barbed wire. One of my own horses has done the same thing. And really, they just, that's their own defence mechanism, is to run. I also have three dogs. My parents live next door and they have five dogs. So yes, we have a bit of a menagerie and can speak for animals and would like to see everything done that can be done to protect them. However, common sense has got to prevail. And equally, as an animal owner, as long as I have enough notice, I can bring my horses in off the field and I can put them in the stable. And I would like to think that everybody, you know, every council event would be able to be riding out or be well advertised or make sure that local residents know all about it. And I can make sure that I bring my dogs in and give them cams or whatever that other stuff is. And there's no problems. And I wouldn't have any problem. As long as I have some time, I can prepare for it. So this is why the DUP are now more than happy to support, get behind this motion with the amendments that have been brought in. Thank you.
Chair, thank you. Just on some of the things that Councillor Brown has said about those with disabilities and that, I'd be fairly heavily involved with Mourne Stimulus in Kilkeel. And I know coming up on Halloween and that type of thing, so there's quite a bit of work done within our group with those type of disabilities, because loud noises, them type of things do really, how would I put it, make those people with those type of disabilities dysfunctional, so it is, to say the least. They do leave them with very anxious, so they do. And on saying that, I'm not going against what Catherine or Billy is doing here, but to be quite honest with you, I know in the council at every opportunity we should be promoting and letting everybody know when these events are taking place. And possibly on the fireworks, as Councillor Brown said at the start, their quieter ones maybe wouldn't be a bad idea, so it wouldn't. So, but at the same time, I would not be on in any way for banning fireworks in any shape or form, so it wouldn't. So thanks, Chair.
Thanks, John. I don't expect members to recall this, but on October 31st, 2019, there was a damp, wet, out evening tournament. And I'm involved with a Halloween community group there in Restrepo. And we actually had our first fireworks display this year, albeit it wasn't a council-organised event, but it was on council ground. And I get absolutely pillared online from people and it was directly related to an issue with horses. But council have processes and procedures in place before they will sign off and give authorisation for such events to take place. So it is all about mitigation, Chairman. But the point I wanted to make was, and the reason that I referenced the weather on that night, we calculated we had about 3,500 people came to watch that display. Now that was 3,500 people who otherwise would have been running wild around the streets, or a brave proportion of them, on Halloween, as it happened in previous years. So it's all about mitigation, and if there's plenty of notification given to horse owners in particular and pet owners, I think everybody can work hand in hand here. So thanks for that, Chair.
Thanks very much.
I'll be supporting the amendment, by the way.
I think we're all in agreement with what has been proposed anyway, are we?
Yep.
You want to end, Dagan?
Yeah, there's just been again to say that unbalanced and everything's unbalanced, like, that, you know, fireworks is to be enjoyed. You know, it only happens about twice a year on average if people are lucky. And I do think that the amendments we talked about, you know, given due warning, whether it is well advanced, there's anything with stock, whatever it is. But normally, my experience with livestock is they're far enough away, and not many livestock will be close to many of the towns, or even the villages, really, that is adequate as well, you know. So we don't want to be seen as the total and utterly spoiled sports, and seen as a very negative type of council, certainly. But I very much welcome the amendment.
Thanks very much for that. Happy enough to move on. Thank you very much for that. On to number 23, which is notice of motion of climate change. This has been deferred to the Climate Change Action Group. So I'd like Councillor Andrew just to speak to the motion, and then we get a second and move on.
I'm just reading it out, aren't I?
Yeah.
This council recognises that in view of its recent climate change emergency motion, a range of actions need to be adopted across all council, all departments in council. To ensure a speedy departure from the current status quo towards real climate change action, this council adopts the concrete actions found in the British and Irish Nuclear Free Local Authorities 10-point guide and instructs management to build and implement a climate change emergency plan founded on this detailed network.
Can we get a seconder for that?
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you very much for that. On to 24, notice of motion, Bridget Narrowwater at Warren Point. It's in the name of Councillor McAteer.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'll just read the motion first. That this council affirmed its unequivocal support for Bridget Narrowwater Warren Point, as described in the Article 31 application B2012-121F, and subsequently approved by former Minister Alex Atwood in October 2012. Chair, planning permission was given in 2012 for a two-lane and fully opening bridge capable of facilitating vehicular traffic to access and go over the Narrowwater to Louth crossing. This project has been, as many of you know, around for many years. And currently, it is featured highly in the new decade, new approach document, which has been published recently following the reinstatement of the Assembly. But I believe that it's important that this newly elected body supports this, because many of us have been around for many years in both the old council and the subsequent following councils. So I do believe that it is important to that this council reiterate its support for this bridge. This bridge presents immense opportunities in attracting new investment, new tourism money into the area, and incredible potential. The opportunity to attain Circa the Loch by a bridge and ferry on a tourist ferry would be an immense asset to our region and to all the adjoining areas of it. It also would allow both our councils, Muir and Warren and Louth, under our memorandum of understanding, which we've already agreed to do, to compile a robust and creative tourism plan and strategy for Carnforth Loch and both its towns and villages.
So I've tried to be as brief as possible, Chair. So I do, as I say, want fully to just to get the endorsement of this council once again, without any doubts at all about the project as it was first envisaged. It is a shovel-ready, ready-to-go project, and work has gone on at this moment in time in trying to put this together and make it happen finally for all. So I'd ask for everybody's support on this one.
John, you second it?
I am, Dave.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. I suppose there may be hurdles to be overcome, and there may be even new ones placed in our path, but this council need not forget that the prize will be very great. The delivery of the Narrowwater Bridge can unlock the potential of our local tourism industry. The moment to envisage a greater Carnacford Lock concept, to realise that the Mourns, the Ring of Gullion and the Cooley form a natural coherent destination area of their own, and I will compare it to the like of the Ring of Kerry or the Causeway Coast. This bridge will be a connecting point, it will be a symbol, and it will be a marketing image for this new destination. And I again ask the people throughout the region to work actively and support this wonderful project. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Stokes, is it?
Yeah, sure, very briefly. Just here, I'm looking the great thing about this bridge, I want to thank Declan for bringing it. This bridge is an opening bridge. I'm just looking at the navigation report published by Louth County Council, who were partners at the time, in January 2012, factoring in a target of 90 vessels a year. Chair, we as council are guardians of the canal, and this project, Chair, protects our canal. All the vessels will continue currently used and that we've aspired to take up to other basin up the canal will continue to be able to do so, Chair. So I want to thank Declan and support the motion, Chair. Thank you.
Glenn. Chair, just on this particular one there, us and the DUP will not be going against this proposal, so we won't. But at the same time, there's a far more challenging and far more important, like the Southern Relief Road, the Ballinahinch Bypass. There's quite a number of other projects that would be far better serve the community than this bridge. We're not going to go against wee deck, so we're not there, but...
wee deck. Wee deck, up and deck.
But just on that, and just one other thing there, just to let Gary, he's a Newry man, he should know there that the Newry Canal is not navigable through the centre of Newry. There's no way through the centre of it now, so the canal. Just into the Albert Basin. So you're having an opening bridge there, so you are at Albert Basin in the Southern Relief Road, and then you're going to have another one down the left a wee bit further. So plenty of money in this country, but we won't be going against this tonight. Anything at all, any infrastructure project in the South Down will be worth having, I suppose. But just we have far more challenging and important projects that we need to look at first.
Bridge to Scotland.
Councillor O'Loan.
Yeah, sure. Just to say that Sinn Féin will be supporting the motion. I don't think it can be questioned.
Order,
council,
please.
This council or the previous council's support for the Narrowwater Bridge, and we all know how close it come to being, along with the help of the East Border Region. But what I would say is that locally and generally, the local population have been by the fact that it was mentioned in the New Deal, that it encouraged people that for once that maybe that this might be the actual bridge appearing. So it's more hopeful than it has ever been in quite a while. So we support them.
Harold.
Chairman, yes. Maybe a wee bit more like what Glenn has been saying. I'd be giving it sort of more of a cautious heads up. For some reason, somehow or other, I was involved, it must have been through early councils, when this had come to light. And I had the mussel dredging fishermen coming to me with quite major concerns because of the type of opening bridge it was and the timings of this is to be set at particular times. But the mussel dredgers at a particular time of the year used the Newry River as part of their fishing grounds. And their major concern was if a boat gets into difficulty, and obviously it's going to take half an hour at least to lift the bridge that a boat stalls, the water in that river would carry that boat downstream. And bearing in mind that the average height of the wheelhouse of a boat was something only like 3 feet lower than the bottom of the bridge. So therefore, remember, the masts are much higher, and they had major concerns. And the other concern they had, that the actual muscles that are growing just at that point are the most elite of muscles growing anywhere in the EU, and they're actually sold throughout Europe as narrow water mussels. So they are important. It's a very clean water and all of that. And the other concern was that there was no major advantage in the haulage industry, because it wasn't to be used by haulage vehicles. Yet it was built to a structural design that was safe to carry busloads, of people to it, but not for vehicles. And apparently I was at a meeting in Louth, I can't remember, county council, wherever, and apparently they said that the people of Louth didn't want big lorries going down to Carlingford and all of that. So just bear in mind that we'll certainly not go against the bridge. There's money for the bridge, that's okay, do the bridge, but make sure that these points are raised and making sure it's fleshed out, and bring everyone along with you, because they're all important to our economy. Thank you.
Sorry, all agreed. Yes. You want to sum up, Declan?
Declan, yes, and
then call you.
We, Declan, yeah. As I said, I'm delighted that the last motion that I brought to council, and Glenn criticised, it only lasted, his criticism lasted a few weeks for the election in the South on Saturday, which actually was the run of my motion. But anyhow, apart from that, disappointed that Glenn can't support it, because I do think that his own great area in the Deep Mourns would benefit greatly from this as well, in terms of the project. Maybe even at this late stage, you would still reconsider. I think you might vote for me. But I'm also encouraged, by Harald's support, and delighted to see that he's recognised that the disputed waters between North and South are still part of the EU, according to Harald. So we anyway, thanks for the support that you have, and I certainly do hope that it will be brought forward. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.